You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Michael Vlahos, who teaches history at Johns Hopkins. We reflect upon, are we now in a civil war? Week after week, month after month, we do not have the answer. We do, now and again, transport ourselves to early Roman Empire, 90 AD, living in Londinium, reflecting upon where did the Republica go? And here we are in the empire. We're comfortable. Domitian, our emperor, is semi-divine. And yet, the future. Michael is turned to the future for the Roman Empire, to the 6th century AD. This is several hundred years after Germanicus, Michael, and John, Caius, sat and reflected. It's in the future for where we are. And yet, it's the same Roman Empire until a plague hits. It's not the first plague, not the second plague, but it is the big one because we now associate it with Yersinia pestis, otherwise known as the Black Death. People died in the afternoon of getting sick. There were bodies heaped everywhere. The stories are legion. Some are believable, some are not. But the question is, when that plague hit, 540, 541 AD, it changed everything. Michael looks at the Justinian plague, and then he leaps forward several hundred years to the High Middle Ages, to the Black Death, the 14th century. When that hit, what did it do to the feudal estates then in control of Western Europe? Michael, a very good evening to you. Compare and contrast these two plagues. The Justinian plague happened at the end of the Roman West and the beginning of the Roman East. Can you summarize what it did for the people we've paid most attention to these last months, the elite of the period in the late Roman, late antiquity? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening, John. Well, if you imagine the Greco-Roman world of the 6th century, this would be the 500s, and then you imagine the Western European, which is actually tied into a Eurasian world system in the 14th century, when both plagues hit, they hit a world that was uncommonly connected. It was a network world, and it was a kind of spoken hub world that concentrated people into dense communities known as cities. And those cities had segmented, stratified elites that ran them. And the fact is that those elite worlds, I mean, dominated by elites, but at the same time, vibrant networks full of trade and interconnection were disrupted by these plagues. And those networks began to break down. But the two situations were different. In the 6th century, this is the 530s and 40s, the Greco-Roman world was already in decline. And you had already had the so-called barbarian invasions, but they'd had much less impact than we commonly tend to associate with that time. And in fact, there was great continuity in the Greco-Roman world, but it was subsiding. It was losing steam. Trade was declining. The world of the Mediterranean was in recess. And as a result, the Justinianic plague hit with a real vengeance, both in Western Europe and in the Mediterranean world as a whole into the Middle East. And the result was pretty much a kind of breakdown of the network. And, for example, in Egypt, which had a population of 30 million in 540 and was the most urbanized society on Earth. By 700, 160 years later, it had declined from 30 million to 10 million. And the other impact was the complete collapse of trade. And so, you know, all the trade in the most valuable of goods, which was wine, had fallen completely into nothing. Most people were getting their wine locally. They weren't trading like they had at the height of the Roman Empire. And also, new movements of peoples, you know, the Arabs and the Slavs, basically overran the Balkans and the Levantine world, the Eastern Mediterranean. And the result was a completely fractured global network. It was in abeyance. It wasn't really existent anymore for several centuries. Now, that network clawed itself back into existence. And in the high Middle Ages, after, say, 900 and into the 1200s, the world had built into a much larger network of the entire Eurasian continent, into a complex. And that world was really growing well. But it was a world of tremendous inequality. It was a world in Western Europe of serfdom, and it was a world in which you had enormous population growth that meant that labor was not really rewarded. And so people were in bondage. And then came the second wave of Yersinia pestis, the Black Death, and it knocked out 60% of the people in Western Europe. And yet this time it was a boon because suddenly labor was in tremendous demand. Much of the elite, much of the aristocracy had been wiped out. So that meant sudden social mobility. The lack of labor meant that there people needed technology to take the place of people. So you had tremendous technology breakthroughs like the powered loom, the three-masted ship. And that led to the breakout of Europe that you had in the 16th and 17th centuries. So you had a surge of activity, energy, creativity, and above all, autonomy. There were new free cities, like the free cities in the Holy Roman Empire. And suddenly there emerged in Europe universities like Oxford in England, but also the Sorbonne in Paris. And you began to see a transformation of Europe that had been really underwritten by the most tragic and terrible of global experiences. And so there is this hidden positive in pandemic that can create and build just as it could undermine and bring down, as it did in the 6th century, so it could create new vistas and the new world as it did in the 14th century.
Now, Michael, I want to press you on this because there were new cities, but there was severe depopulation. So were these new cities, were they seen as a retreat from the old cities? Were they seen as a development? Cities are, as you've established in the past, our greatest creation as a civilization. Were these, and you're presenting these cities as positive, but it sounds kind of desperate at the same time. There was nobody left in the countryside.
That's true. And it took a couple centuries for Europe to repopulate, but the cities emerged as kind of hubs of trade and were independent of the cloying control of the religious dominance that existed, the archbishoprics and the bishoprics, which were essentially ecclesiastical domains under the rule of prelates. So that you had in feudal Europe, not simply, you know, barons and dukes and counts, you also had bishops and archbishops. And everything was dominated by the land, and people fled as a result of the plague and developed these new cities, which were a nexus of trade. And at the same time, and this is not a little bit off topic, but you had the development of new instruments of money and finance,
right,
like banking. And this created a new way ahead for people. So even though there was this sense of intense loss, there was also an incredibly new horizon of opportunity. And so you had a tremendous amount of energy unleashed. And this led to the developments of Europe that we call the Renaissance, followed by, you know, the Reformation, et cetera. And this was something that came after the terrible devastation. Now, of course, today we have no real devastation. But what has happened in a very interesting sense is that the way in which the reaction to this pandemic has led to a segmentation of life across the world with all the lockdowns and the isolation, that has, in a sense, undermined the control of elites, because elites have arbitrarily over the last year imposed the kinds of controls on people that have opened a well of resentment. And the reaction to that is going to be a kind of restless liberation. As soon as the gates are opened and the prison doors are unlocked, so I would expect to see people move in all sorts of energetic different directions, and those different directions will, by definition, go against elite control.
Let me speak to a conversation I've had with an economist writer in London about observing what happened, the phenomena that happened after the 19th and 20th century experiences with the pandemic, and see if it matches up with your analysis of the Justinian plague in the 6th century and the Black Death in the 14th century. Malcolm Vlahos of Johns Hopkins. We are discussing, of course, the possibility of civil strife, civil conflict in all around us, not just cultural, but in fact the tearing apart of American society. But Michael has grown this model to the planet Earth over the last 2,000 years. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.